Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds.
Brooks, how are you doing today? First podcast, try to make this something everyone likes to listen to, and yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm making it. So this was actually your idea. You came to me with this, about a month or so ago?
Yeah, I just try to fill a void. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, driving to and from work, I think folks listen to quite a bit. I listen to quite a bit. And there's nothing kind of dedicated to Jack State. I'm from Jacksonville. You're from Jacksonville. Certainly a team we both love and want to see compete and do well now that they're Division I and, voice our opinions on the team as well as we go forward. So,
definitely. I definitely want to, like you said, there is a rival podcast out there, I guess, or will be a rival, but it's not a whole lot of external, outside of the official accounts and everything, Jack State Media. So, and one that's, I know there's not one that's, football centered. So, I think this will be a great way to, keep fans updated, keep Jack State, big Jack State fans, loyal Jack State fans updated on football notes, on recruiting, on the transfer portal, maybe some stuff like the stadium update. Obviously, we're going to talk about towards the end the big one, EA college football, and Jack State's involvement in it. I'm really excited about it. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be something that we're going to build over the course of time. We're starting it at a little bit of a funky time, it is middle of spring ball. But we've still got months before we kick off the season in September. So trying to find some content and stuff to talk about may be a little tricky, but it'll be a challenge for sure. But I'm excited to get to tackle it.
Yeah, I am as well. We talk about. Yeah, kind of a weird time to start recording or start the podcast, but still a lot going on around the football team. You obviously got Jack State brought in 28 transfers and recruits total. We'll talk to you about some of the guys we like out of that class. Certainly schedule release and new defensive coordinator as well. Zach Alley left for Oklahoma. Better things for him, I guess, in the Big 12. But we have a new defensive coordinator from – SEC now. I have to get used to saying that. That's going to take a long time. So, anyway, new defensive coordinator, Luke Olson from Tulsa by way of TCU. We'll tell you a little more about him as we go on. But, Brooks, if you want to start with the recruits, what are some guys that grab your eye, I guess, out of the new class?
I think the biggest one for me is definitely Justice Savage. Friend of mine works for Rivals Recruiting. He covers Georgia recruiting. He went to Savage's high school, Langston Hughes, to watch Georgia recruit. But he saw Justice Savage and watched him play. As soon as we signed him, he texted me, "Hey, y'all've got a stud. This kid's 5'10", 195. You've got it noted on here. He's a 3-star, but he runs the ball like a 4-star. Yeah. And I've watched a few clips of him. He's a big, thick kid. Lowers his head, lowers his shoulder, will run you over. And I think he's going to be a really, really good compliment to Ron Wiggins going into the season. That thunder and lightning kind of combo.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. The thunder and lightning combo, you lose Malik Jackson over the offseason, and hopefully Justice Savage fills the void there alongside Ron. offense moves so quickly, it's, you know, you can't go, you know, there's no three down running backs in Rich Rod's offense with the pace they go. It's not a, that's not a sustainable thing for them. So you got to have two guys that, that you can really play off each other. You know, just Savage offered by, you know, Toledo and Charleston Southern and some other schools. Indiana offered him. So some other Division I schools. Good to see Jack State got him. For what it's worth, 24/7 Sports ranked him as the fourth best JSU commit of all time. Although me and you, Brooks, both read the list and it wasn't real impressive with the guys they had at the top. But, you know, that is kind of something to look forward to, is his pedigree seems to be really good. So,
yeah, no disrespect to the guys at the top, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, for the guys that, for the people listening that know Jack State, like Buster Pope wasn't on there. Eli wasn't at the top. Zerick, he was a transfer, but Zerick Cooper wasn't up there. You know, people that you know. So I'm really excited to, you know, we see the high praise that he's gotten from Rivals and 24/7, and like you said, or like we said, for him to be that compliment to Ron Wiggins, I think, you know, obviously Ron's going to come in, he's the most experienced, he'll be the starter, but I think Ron's a little bit more that, you know, you get him into open space and he's going to take, and he's going to turn on the afterburners, but he's not, I don't think he's quite the, you know, he's got a linebacker, you know, he's coming off the edge and linebacker's headed straight for him. He's not going to lower his shoulder and run him over. I think Savage, or, you know, or even in, you know, third and three, second and four situations, we need a short game for first down. I think Savage is going to be that guy to, you know, line up in a one back and power through to get a first down. You know, we've seen a lot in bigger programs, Alabama, Georgia, where they have that multi running back system. You being a Georgia fan too, most recently, when Georgia had Zamir White and James Cook, I think this has the potential to be a similar combo. James Cook was the get him into open space and he's gone. Zamir White was the line him up in a one back, give it to him straight up the middle and he's going to run you in the dirt. And I think that's the potential that that Justice Savage has.
Yeah, I do too. You know, watching film, you know, he's got speed as well, but his preferred method of attack, I guess, is to lower the shoulder and go through you. So, yeah, certainly be a good compliment there to Ron, hopefully, for us. A.J. Watkins was a guy that I watched a little bit of film about. He played quarterback as a senior at Norcross High School in Georgia. He was the Georgia Region 7 7A Player of the Year. Not sure what his role is going to be. He's an athlete, was recruited as an athlete, I should say, 6'2", 195. Offered by Toledo, Air Force, Army, and Citadel. All those offenses don't throw the ball very much. So kind of interesting to see what Rich Rod has planned for him. He may not be a guy you see initially. I don't know if he'll kind of feel more of what Zion Webb's role looked like, maybe when he kind of matures as a quarterback. But he's certainly not much of a thrower yet, but he certainly has the running ability to play quarterback in this offense. Whether or not he ends up doing that or not will remain to be seen. But he was just an interesting one for me as far as what role does A.J. Watkins going to fill for us. So anyway.
Yeah, you talk about him being an athlete, you know, and playing a quarterback position at Norcross, or athlete. But you know, we're also bringing in Zon Turner and Tyler Huff from Connecticut and Furman, on top of having Logan Smothers. So, I think you know we may, put him in it like a slot receiver, let him run some jet sweeps, some end rounds, maybe something like that. Maybe see what he can do, catching the ball, you know, just with a decently crowded, quarterback room, all bringing in experience. Again, Smothers from Jack State and Nebraska. And on top of bringing in two more transfer quarterbacks, Zion Turner didn't really have a ton of playing time last season for the Huskies, but Tyler Huff, you know, last 2 years at Furman had a completion percentage around 64%, 2,000 yards each season. Pretty good numbers for Furman. Combined 25 touchdowns, 650 yards a year rushing. So that's the big one for me that I think he's going to have an advantage over Zion Turner is him being able to run.
Yeah, the quarterback battles is going to be really, really interesting, at least to me. I mean, you've got three guys that really have potential to play in this offense. You talk about Logan Smothers has experience with the offense and certainly played good at times last year. I don't think they win the bowl game without him, almost certainly. He led two scoring drives. Zion started to struggle, and Smothers came in and kind of righted the ship there for us. You talk about Tyler Huff. He's a six-year eligibility guy. He started his career at Presbyterian. Like I said, played the last 2 years at Furman, has pretty good numbers, you know, passing and rushing, which in this offense, your quarterback has to be able to run. So we will kind of see what that kind of looks like as well. And then, you know, Zion Turner's the third one. Not much playing time at UConn. Under 60% completion percentage on 258 career attempts. More interceptions and touchdowns. But he can run the ball. 90 times for 262 is, you know, 2.9 per attempt. Does not, you know, really leap out at you and grab you as you kind of look at his rushing numbers. But he's got a little bit of speed. He'll be athletic. He's a big, thick guy. He's not going to be as elusive as maybe Zion was. But we'll kind of see what his role is also. The quarterback battle is going to be probably the biggest draw for camp for me, is see who's going to play out of the gate. And we know Rich Rod is not a stranger to changing quarterback to even drive to drive. He will change his quarterback every game. We saw him do it in the bowl game. So you may see all three of these guys at some point. You may see one guy kind of separate himself from the other two and get a lot more playing time. It'll be really fun to watch. So,
yeah, I think, you know, like you said, as much as Rich Rod likes to change out quarterbacks, and we saw every game, we saw it against Sam Houston, Middle Tennessee, South Carolina, where it was, you know, that had a very integral part to playing, or you know, had a huge impact on us being able to compete and should have won the game.
I still have nightmares.
but certainly the bowl game, like you said, Zion just had a poor start to the game, and Smothers came in. Smothers didn't have, you know, the game of his life by any means, but less than two scoring drives, and, you know, kept us in it, even though we spotted them three touchdowns. No, four.
Yeah, three off turnovers, and then defense kind of gave him one towards the end of the first half, but. And there is a fourth option at quarterback. You know, Tayshaun Smoot was a big time recruit for Jack State a couple years ago. He'll be a redshirt sophomore. We'll kind of see what his role is. He, of course, doesn't have nearly experience the other three have. But you know about pedigree and being kind of fit to run this offense. He is your pedigree and fit to run the offense more so than probably any of the other three guys as far as can really run the ball, has some ability to throw it as well, but he'll be the best runner of the four, I would imagine, which we haven't seen a lot of Zion Turner running the ball, but Tayshaun Smoot certainly can can run the ball from the quarterback position. So he will be kind of your fourth guy out of camp that will have a shot for playing time also. So we'll talk about him as we kind of progress through some of the offseason as well.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit of him against Liberty.
Yes, we did.
When he came in after Zion and Smothers, and we were, down two scores, just trying to look for an answer. Strong arm, not the most accurate, but he definitely made a lot of plays with his feet in that game. So, and I think that's the thing that really you look at, obviously, what we've already seen with Smothers and Smoot, but also bringing in Huff and Zion Turner, is they both have more so Huff than Turner, but they both have a pretty good little stack of rushing statistics. Huff ran the ball 105 times both seasons he was at Furman, 650 yards per year and 14 total touchdowns with his feet. Turner in 2022 had 90 carries for 262 yards. Rich Rubb wants a dual threat quarterback, and he'd been lucky to develop. I didn't think when Zion first got here that he was much of a runner. He can move around in the pocket a little bit and extend plays, but I didn't think he was much of a runner too. So to see Rich Rod in that offense develop him into a dual threat quarterback, and then of course Smothers coming in already having a little bit of dual threat experience. I think when Rich Rod rotates his quarterbacks, and it's going to happen, he doesn't want to lose anything passing or throwing.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, it's going to happen, right? He is going to rotate quarterbacks. And it just kind of depends which of those three or four guys is able to separate themselves from the rest and kind of take over as the number one option, like Zion did, for us last year. Some other guys of note, as far as transfers go, we talked about the quarterbacks. But DeMarcus Lacy, played by our receiver at North Alabama the last two seasons. And he kind of seems to really fit this offense. If you know anything about North Alabama football, they don't throw it much at all. They are as close to a triple option offense as you can get, really. They do some stuff out of the shotgun, but it is a lot of under center, jet sweep, triple option stuff. And from the wide receiver position, he ran the ball 156 times for 802 yards over the last two seasons, as well as catching 43 passes for around 500, which in that offense is leading by a good margin. They don't throw the ball much, but he was leading rusher and receiver last year for UNA. So I feel like he's going to be a guy that comes in and plays pretty quickly. He's got two seasons of one AA experience, and he's certainly going to fill a role in the offense that is utilized greatly, which is running the ball from all over the field, all over the formation, I should say. Not just a quarterback and a running back running game, it will include the whole offense. So good to have him. We'll kind of see what he blossoms into for us. You have anything else on DeMarcus Lacy?
Yeah, we talked about earlier about AJ Watkins maybe being that guy we see. if he gets a good bit of playing time early, running a lot of jet sweeps and end of rounds out of the slot position. I think DeMarcus Lacy could be that kind of guy too, but we're also going to be replacing Perry Carter and Jamar Joyner. So, maybe we'll see in the spring, he may step up and, he's coming in with that experience from North Alabama. And like you said, an offense that does not throw the ball a lot. for him to have, seven touchdowns receiving, he may be that go-to guy for, whoever's in at quarterback. It'll be interesting to see, this essentially being an entirely new offense, except for, Smothers and Ron, and Perry Carter, not Perry Carter, PJ Wells. Seeing what kind of synergy they have, how well they connect with one another. And we took a lot of transfers. A lot of transfers and a lot of freshmen, so that'll be interesting to see.
Two more transfer wide receivers, Samario Rudolph from UAB and Brandon Spector from Clemson. Those guys are more question marks, I think. Not a lot of playing time for those two. Samario Rudolph caught 25 passes for UAB last year. Brandon Spector caught 4 for Clemson last year. Didn't play at all in 2021. You kind of see what those two guys look like coming out of camp. I mean, they're not going to be, number on the depth chart to start the season by any stretch. But anyone you get from Clemson, I mean, that is still a Power 5 school. He'll certainly have the, we use the word pedigree a couple of times now, but he'll have the pedigree of a wide receiver who could get significant playing time and play a big role for us. So those two guys are question marks. I don't know what their expectations are going to be, but I guess we'll find out as we go.
Yeah. I think we're certainly going to have a lot of offensive weapons that are going to thrive in Rich Rod's spread option offense. Is there anybody on the defensive side of the ball that really sticks out to you?
I'm
going to be placing a few guys.
Yeah. 3-star recruit from Parkland Academy, Zedrick Washington. Played a lot of linebacker in high school, played a lot of edge in high school. He's recruited as a linebacker. Looks really explosive. Got offers from Louisiana, Arkansas State, and Cincinnati. So he was going to be a guy, 6'3", 225, good size to be a linebacker or an edge rusher, whatever he kind of blossoms or turns into as the season goes on or as spring goes on, I guess. You get a Reginald Hughes, transfer from Ole Miss. Very, very little playing time there. He's a defensive end, 6'2", 240. See kind of what those two guys end up doing as far as new guys stepping in and filling holes left by, Colby Fukwe's gone, left for the NFL draft, hopefully. Jax Luttrell, kind of the same thing, left the NFL draft. So you got to have some guys come in on the interior of the defense, or even if Colby Fukwe started as a defensive back, played some linebacker, you kind of see how we fill those two holes. But yeah, excited about those two guys for sure.
Yeah. this is going to be a defense. This is going to be a defense that it's going to look different too. Like you said,
yeah,
we're going to be replacing a lot of key players in the backfield, Jeremiah Harris, finally graduating, and new defensive coordinator, key yep. linebackers, key defensive ends. So it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, a little bit more about, the new defensive coordinator, Zach Olson. He's a defensive analyst at TCU. But he does have defensive coordinator experience. He actually coached against, Jack State when we played Tulsa in 2022, he was primarily defensive backs coach before the 2022 season and being promoted. So a familiar position as a defensive coordinator.
His 1 year as a coordinator at Tulsa, the defense numbers for Tulsa aren't going to wow anybody. We could read those if we wanted to. 33.5 points a game, 170th country. They're not great. But we would have said the same thing about Zach Alley, right? Mm-hmm. Rich Rod brought him from ULM. That was not a great football team at the time. There are places that are harder to win at than others. Tulsa, you would imagine, would be a more difficult place to win at than some other schools. Monroe certainly fits that bill also, which is why you saw Zach Alley have so much success at Jack State. And, now he's been snatched up by one of the bigger schools, which might be a problem that Jack has to deal with for years to come, unfortunately, but that's another story for another day, I guess. Yeah. Certainly somebody who's, you know, familiar with defense. He's been a, you know, like you said, defensive backs coach for, you know, almost a decade at Tulsa before moving into the defensive coordinator role. And then he was an analyst or defensive analyst last year at TCU. So certainly someone who has experience to put a winning defense on the field. We'll kind of see how it looks in comparison to what Zach Alley's defense looked like last year, which was, I think, better than anyone could have ever imagined from that group. So,
yeah, and I think too, he's gonna have a good little bit of experience to work with. Austin Ambush coming back, Fred Perry coming back, Travis Collier, Kywan McCray. He's gonna have a lot of guys who saw a good little bit of playing time last season. So, I think having that little bit of a head start within the system, it'll help him out. You know, I don't think we're going to lose. Like I said, I don't think we're going to lose. It's going to look different. Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of getting used to everybody working, you know, everybody, you know, being in synergy, working together, you know, getting used to playing with each other. Guys that have been with the program for 3 or 4 years now, playing with guys that, you know, I never heard of Jacksonville before, before the season.
Yeah.
But you know, but that's going to be the case for the whole team. So, you know, this season may take a little bit of, may have to bear with them, just because there was so much shuffling around of coaches and players. But you know, moving on to looking at our schedule, it really reminds me a lot of last season.
It does. You know, certainly you get the Power 5 game. We play Coastal again. You got the full conference play. It does look a lot like last year's schedule for certain. So,
yeah, opening up with Coastal. They won't have Grayson McCall. So that's going to be a, you know, to me, that's going to be a completely different Coastal Carolina team. The kid was an athlete. Surprised he didn't end up at, like, you know, there was rumor that he was going to go to Auburn.
Yes, there was, yeah.
But that'll be a completely different Coastal Carolina team. We're replacing South Carolina last year with Louisville this year. That'll be our big Power 5 game. But other than that, it's pretty similar. All the conference games are the same. We're just swapping. Yeah. We're adding Kennesaw this year as a conference member.
Yeah. So Kennesaw moving up the year after us. Certainly a team that Jack State's very familiar with. Playing them at the FCS level for quite a few years. With it be in Kennesaw at Jack State. Certainly a team you get to see quite a bit. So they'll be a part of Conference USA this year. We'll be their first conference game. They host, or we go to Kennesaw October 4th to start our conference schedule. So be interesting to kind of see how they handle the season going forward as well. Kind of doing the same thing that Jack State did last year. So,
yeah, I'm really glad, you know, for as many schools that are moving up to Division I, I'm really glad. You know, I thought we left a couple really good rivalries when we moved up from the ASUN, you know, with UNA and Kennesaw. But I'm really glad to get to see Kennesaw move up, and us, you know, continue to grow this rivalry. Had a lot of classics over the year. The game at Truist, Rich Rod's first season, the overtime game. So I think I'm glad to see this game get to keep being played, get to develop and continue to be a really strong rivalry. I think this has the potential to be not a Troy rivalry, quite, but you know, like a UNA for some of our more seasoned listeners.
Yeah,
or seasoned Jack State fans.
Yeah, and you're talking about Troy. I'm not sure whose hand we have to shake or who we have to pay to get a Troy game, but we have to play Troy soon, right?
It's got to be coming soon. We're both group of would you consider group of five or group of four?
Yeah, I don't, whatever, how they're going to rebrand the, you know, losing the Pac-12, and now you've got, you know, an odd number of smaller conferences versus bigger conferences. So, yeah, I'll go with group of five for now, I guess.
Group of five, both being group of five schools now, you know, we're not afraid, you know, to host, like we've got a home and home coming up with UAB, a home and home with Georgia Southern. So we're going to see a lot more of, you know, previously bigger schools coming to, you know, where we may play them at a neutral site like we did with UAB, or we'd always have to go in years past, go to Georgia State, go to Tulsa, go to, schools like that. They're going to start coming to Jacksonville more. So, you know, I think this has been something that Jack State fans have been wanting for years and years to come, whether, you know, at the FCS level, us going to Troy for a non-conference non-conference game, just to have that rivalry again, because it's been, what, 25 years now? Since we played Troy, close to?
Yeah, not in my lifetime have they played Troy. So it's been a very, very long time. So it would be really cool to see them get to rekindle the rivalry, I guess, with the Trojans. But looking at the schedule I'm sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to – you could tell they're kind of trying to slowly rebuild over the years. Over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had home and homes in basketball and baseball with Troy, played them in a few other little bit smaller sports. So I think that's a little bit of a buildup. I think we're going to see the Troy game again. Hopefully within the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that would be, attitude. That would be a lot of fun for sure. I'll move the schedule. Just, you know, some notes, I guess. Bye weeks are after week 4 and after week 7. And the last 6 games of the year are all back-to-back. Those are all conference games. So from Middle Tennessee all the way down to the season finale at West Kentucky are all 6 straight weeks of competition for them. So interesting to see how they handle that bulk of conference play. Going forward, they still have the midweek madness, I guess. They get Mexico State, Middle Tennessee State, and Liberty all on Wednesday, back-to-back-to-back weeks in October. So, you know, you enjoyed watching them on ESPN at 7 o'clock at night playing barn burners like they did last year. You'll probably see more of that this year. So that's good to see. Two of those games will be at home, which will be nice for the midweek games.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I really like the I like the midweek games, and they were good games. I did too.
Yeah, I did too. They were all really good games. Maybe with the exception of the Liberty game that didn't really go our way with Zion and Logan Smothers both getting hurt. But you know, you beat West Kentucky midweek, Middle Tennessee State midweek, and Sam Houston midweek last year, and you know, you win 3 out of those 4. I think you feel pretty good about your midweek schedule. So you certainly have another dose of that this year, I guess. So only other thing, I know FCS opponents this year. Last year they got East Tennessee State. So no FCS opponents, which I would imagine first time in program history, which will be,
I didn't think about that.
A little bit interesting that all Division I, all 12 this year. So really neat there.
This will be our first time.
Yep.
You talk about the midweek games, that Kennesaw game's on a Friday too. So
yes, that Kennesaw game is on a Friday.
It's a lot of great. There's going to be a lot of great midweek action, and you know, hopefully, it won't come down to overtime with Sam Houston again or walking off of the field. You know, hopefully we can run away with them a little bit more. Some of those games I couldn't stand. I remember watching
less cardiac and yeah, less cardiac and more less cardiac attacks and more nice sound victories.
Yeah,
and look at the schedule, and I think you'll have those. I mean, you know, you open up, you have two really tough games to start the year, right? Against Coastal at home, and then at Louisville are probably your two toughest games on the schedule. Maybe the exception of Mexico State, which who knows what they're returning, and Liberty. So those are your four toughest, and you open up with, you know, two of those back to back. But you know, then you get, you know, Eastern Michigan, which Sac State handled, you know, easily last year. Kennesaw State's first year moving up. We'll see what they look like. You know, Middle Tennessee State didn't give Jack State any issues. Same Louisiana Tech. You get those after the Liberty game. FIU was a big win for us. So there are still certainly teams that Jack State should handle. And, you know, they get Sam Houston and West Kentucky to close the year. West Kentucky will certainly be good competition. We'll kind of see if Sam Houston, you know, I'll say has gotten more competitive, but they played Jack State really well last year, even though they didn't have a great season overall. So certainly an interesting schedule as far as, you know, some teams that we have history with now, which is really, really good to see that, you know, it's not year one. And, you know, we had no idea last year. I think we both thought, you know, 4 or 5 wins would be a really, you know, nice year. And, okay, they won 9 games in a bowl game. So, you know, you learn what you're capable of. And now with the schedule this year, and, like, you want to think they're going to win 10 games or 11 games, right? But there's still tough competition on the board. Teams that are familiar with us now, so they have, you know, some data on Jack State they didn't have last year. So it'll be really fun.
Yeah, like you said, I would have if we would have went. I was fully expecting 3 or 4 wins. I'll be completely and totally honest. I was fully expecting 3 or 4 wins. You know, pick up FIU. There was a lot of toss up games. I thought Middle Tennessee, La Tech, you know, even Sam Houston, I thought would have been a toss up. I mean, never did not expect them to have the year that they did, coming off of,
yeah,
you know, a couple pretty dang good FCS seasons.
Yes,
winning the national championship not too long before moving up. But I, you know, it's going to come down to conference schedule for sure. I think if we can, the key games are going to be obviously at Liberty, at Western Kentucky, and it, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Kennesaw looks like. They had a very down year. They had a very down year their last year at FCS.
Are they still running triple option offense as well?
Yeah.
They are.
If I'm correct, that head coach is – he's still there running – he still runs triple option. Trying to see. But either way, like you said, teams that are more familiar with us that – and we're more familiar with them. We've got history with a couple with Sam Houston – in the FCS playoffs in years past, and of course the Kennesaw game, but it's become a great rivalry. But I think, you know, if we can take care of business against Eastern Michigan, against Coastal Carolina, that Southern Miss one will be kind of interesting. I know there in years past they've been kind of up and down.
Yeah.
But take care of business as much as we can in non-conference, and then, you know, if we can have a similar conference turnout like we did last year, you know, I think we'll certainly be in contention for a bowl game again, because it'll be the same situation.
Right. We'll still be on probation. Yeah, Jack State will be on probation. So they'll have to have another South Carolina loss late on the last week of the season to get them in again. So
it would have South Carolina. Did we have to have Mississippi State lose too? We had to have a couple different.
Yeah. Different South Carolina, teams. Cal was one of the teams as well. But yeah, they needed some chaos to happen last week of the season. And fortunately it did. We'll kind of see how that goes. I mean, James Madison in the same boat, right? They went undefeated, if I remember correctly, and weren't guaranteed a bowl game until like hours before Jack State was guaranteed a bowl game. So, you know, you can win 6 games or 12 games for Jack State. It's still going to depend on having some teams lose and not enough bowl spots filled for them to get in. So
I think they'll be, because they moved up a year before us, I think they're fully bowl eligible now. I think.
Yeah, James Madison should be on probation. 2 years? This year, I believe it's 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be us, Kennesaw, and Sam Houston. That'll still be under bowl probation. Is there any other schools moving up?
From FCS? I know of.
I know Delaware is joining Conference USA, but they're not till 2025. But I think Kennesaw's the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe Kennesaw is it. So, like I said, Delaware we'll see in 2025. But yeah, Kennesaw seems to be the only new team this year. It is good to see teams move up like they have been in recent years. I mean, you kind of think back to, you know, the mid-2000s and early 2010s, there wasn't a lot of movement, it felt like. So it's good to see Sam Houston, Jack State, Kennesaw, you know, we'll see Delaware, and I'm sure others will follow, come up and compete at the big level, I guess.
Yeah, and I think this is something, you know, pertaining to Conference USA, I think this is something that we're gonna continue to see. Delaware, you know, just with, you never know what conferences are going to look like day after day. Especially at the top of the Power Four now. Texas and Oklahoma moving around to the SEC. Florida State and Clemson are talking about leaving the ACC. That conference could look completely different.
Yeah, or suing the ACC, whatever they decide to do.
Yeah. On top of, you know, you've got Cal and SMU. What was the last team joining the ACC? It's Cal, SMU, Stanford.
Stanford
joining the ACC. You know, and that relating to Jack State, you know, 20 years ago we were in the OVC, a decently regional conference.
Yeah.
And now, and you know, 10 years before that, we were in Division II days. We were more regional in the Gulf South.
Yeah.
And now we're about to be in a conference that's going to stretch from Delaware to Miami to New Mexico.
Yeah. It is certainly crazy to think about how much movement we've seen, and you know, Jack State plays in a conference now, like you said, it stretches almost the entire United States. So just a lot of fun things to look forward to in the coming years. You know, what will the conference say look like? It seems like they add teams and subtract teams all the time, kind of like you see, you know, the American has done in the past and the Sun Belt's done in the past. So it'll be, you know, you'll certainly get new conference opponents for Jack State to play, you know, every couple of years, it seems. You know, Kennesaw's won this year. So
It's, you know, like for, you know, people like, you know, even you and me and some older fans that grew up in the OVC, the playing schools like Tennessee Tech and Eastern Illinois and SEMO, and you know, it in just a really just a few short years. What, when we leave the OVC, 2019?
2019, yep.
Yeah, so 5 years. We've gone from 5 years, we've gone from the OVC, you know, being a decent FCS football conference to the ASUN, and you know, everything that went down with that, and now, you know, we're part of a much more national stage, I believe. It's been really amazing to see the development that Jack State has developed. use yeah. the word twice.
Cool.
But on a kind of start wrapping up, one thing we want to talk about, Jack State being on a national stage, or much more of a national stage, that includes probably the most important thing that has happened to college football in the last 9 years now, no 10 years now,
10 years
and
now.
That is the EA Sports college football video game. It's finally coming back, and Jack State's going to be in it.
Yeah. Someone who grew up playing all of them from 2005 to 2014, I guess. There's part of me that thought we'd never see it again. Maybe a big part of me that thought we'd never see it again, but it's here. Sometime June, July of this year, it'll have all FBS opponents or all FBS teams, which includes Jack State for the first time. So, really excited to see it. I don't know if it'll be what we remember the college football games being as far as how they played and felt and that kind of thing. I think what I more look forward to is, you know, what will the stadium look like? You know, what will the Southerners sound like? Because I know they have sent some recording to EA to use in the game. You know, how immersive will it really be? You know, Jack State was in, you know, up until 2008 in the PS2 days, you had all of your FCS teams, but they were very generic, basically just had uniforms and a generic stadium. But, you know, this is going to be the real deal. It'll be really cool to see.
Yeah, I remember the stadium just having looked like a high school stadium. It didn't look anything like Birds of Snow, just two small sides of bleachers. I remember even – I don't think the uniforms were entirely correct. They had about the logo, and it was red and white, and that was a bad hit.
Yeah.
It was either NCAA 08 or 07 had our third color is blue.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, this is going to be – you know, even though we had Jack State and FCS schools in previous video games, this is going to be – a completely different experience playing Jack State on, you know, a game that we grew up with playing night after night after night after night. I have a lot of great memories playing. So looking forward to creating some new ones. This is certainly going to be a much more immersive experience in terms of, playing with Jack State.
Yeah.
You talked about the Southerners submitting some music. I remember seeing Dr. Botterford put on Twitter confirming they did send all their audio, all the fight songs, third down songs. I don't know if they included I'll Fly Away.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. The stadium. I'm kind of interested to see what the stadium's going to look like because, you know, we have these original renderings.
Yeah, and that kind of leads us into maybe our last topic. You know, I don't live in Jacksonville anymore. A couple hours away. I'm still home quite a bit, but I don't know in what state the stadium is in. You know, you have renderings that you might can send EA, but, you know, you build it, and like the renderings, it's going to be a little bit weird for year one, which is not, you know, in the end of the world. But Brooks, is the stadium, how far they come? I don't know how much we really know, so.
I still live in Jacksonville, and when I'll go and work out at the rec, I'll go up that way around Trustee Circle and by the calf and all in the stadium and see what kind of progress they made. The field house, you know, the original rendering, the original idea for the field house was it was going to be, the new calf on top. And all the football offices and locker rooms, and everything on the bottom floor, that's completely changed now. Now it's just the football facility. It's gonna be a weight room, a Hall of Fame, offices, new locker room, and new open air suites. The progress that I've seen driving by it. The outside looks about completely done.
Okay.
You know, because that was a project they had started on 2 years ago. So, you know, it's not going to be ready for J-Day game on April 19th, but it'll definitely be ready. They should move in over the summer. Like I said, the outside looks, I don't know what kind of progress the inside is, or has, but the outside looks about completely done. It's kind of hard to see from inside the stadium, what the suites look like, what kind of progress those, but facing the road, it looks really good. Still working on the parking lot and some stuff, but you know, in those original drawings or in those original renderings too, the away side was supposed to be dorms, and that's right. Completely changed now.
Yeah, I know a lot has changed from what they had originally imagined. I'm sure it'll still be really nice, and it'll certainly be something new and certainly feel more like a Division I football stadium more than it ever has. Which, even the way that it was about as nice as an FCS stadium was at that level. So it'll look even better and really fit in with some of the schools they'll be playing against, which would be really neat.
Yeah, especially, you know, I hated to see it go just because, you know, that was a piece of Jack State history. But seeing the old press box go, it was time for it. They tore it down, I want to say about a month ago, month or two ago. And like I said, you know, that was supposed to be dorms. But now I think what they're going to do with it is those are going to be open air suites too, I think. That's what I've heard. They're definitely doing a lot of work on that side. Pouring a lot of concrete. Some of that wall, some of that extra wall has been torn down. They've already built a new ticket booth closer to the fieldhouse side. I really wish they would redo those concession stands and the away locker room, make those a little bit more modern, but that may be, you know, a little bit further down the road. But yeah, excited to see what the stadium's going to look like when it's all said and done. There'll be new bleachers on that side. No old press box. Have a little bit better view of the stadium and of campus. I'm excited to see what the game day experience is going to be like at Burgess now. Having that the home side be as nice as it is now, the away side hopefully be just as nice too. So
have those sides match would be really, really good. All right. That's all I've got. Covered a lot of stuff for episode one, I guess. Clear from Bassoon. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we have an exact date or exact schedule, I guess I should say, on when you'll hear from us going forward. Certainly, if you don't hear us before the J-Day game, you will right after. But I would like to think you'd hear from us before that as well. But obviously, we'll keep you updated on our Twitter account. Come follow us on Twitter. We'll keep it on, or on X. Yeah. Keep it on, update on
always be Twitter.
Yeah. On podcast, releases and news as well. We'll put as much as we can there. So, all right. Anything else?
No. Thank you to everybody who's, listening to our first episode. I thought, you know, we kind of sounded maybe a little nervous at the start, but got more comfortable as we went on. I'm excited for this. I think, you know, as more news and more updates, you know, about the stadium, about the video games, about recruiting, transfer portal coaches, as you know, leading up to J-Day, and afterwards over the summer, leading up to the kickoff against Coastal Carolina comes out. I think this is going to be a great platform for a lot of people to get some great news, great updates, and hear about some really good topics about Jack State and Jack State football. And we'll probably throw in, you know, this is a football center podcast, but we'll probably throw in some other stuff about other sports. Baseball is in full swing. Basketball.
The bowling team is number one.
Bowling team is number one bowling team in the country. How we turn that around, how we manage that, I have no idea. I'm not a big bowling guy, but may talk a little bowling. So,
yeah.
Again, thanks everyone for listening. We'll keep everybody updated on Twitter or X about our next show. And looking forward to what this turns into.
Well,
see you, everybody.
Yep.